Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us as we get ready to worship God this morning. Before we start, I want you to shout out a praise for another year. Another year to be able to praise God, to give Him glory. He's given you life and breath this year. Come on, somebody shout out hallelujah. Hey. Oh. Oh, you are God, and we lift you up. We'll keep singing, we'll keep praising, and we won't stop giving all we got. You're worthy of all glory, and oh, there is no other. You are forever Lord over all. There's nobody like you and no one beside you. Come on and sing it out. To you let endless praise resound. Every night and day, and with no delay, let endless praise resound. Hey! Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Oh, boundless love. Life before the sun, eternal and never stops. We give it all we got. Creation keeps singing, and oh, there is no other. You are forever Lord over all. It's nobody like you and no one beside you. Come on. To you, let endless praise resound. Every night and day,
and with no delay,
let endless praise
resound.
Sing it again. To you, let endless praise
resound.
Every night and day,
and with no delay,
let
down
to you. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Oh, with all we are, we lift you up, yeah. Come on. We lift you up, up, up. We're giving you our love, love, love. Over everything you've done, done, done. Oh, we give you all the praise. Come on. We lift you up, up, up. Oh, we give you our love, love, love. For everything you've done, done, done. Oh, we give you all the praise. Let's go. Come on, church, I want you to sing this loud with me. Come on.
To you, let endless praise resound.
Every night and day, and with no delay,
let endless praise resound.
To you,
let endless praise resound.
Every night and day.
No delay, endless praise resound.
Come on,
to you,
to you. Somebody lift up praise in this place. Yeah. Come on and shout out a praise. Come on, church. Nowhere I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord, from everlasting to everlasting. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
We cry out, Lord,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord.
We sing from our hearts, Lord,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you.
Oh, to everlasting, and all the earth will shout your praise.
We'll cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise and sing in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord.
It's your breath,
it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise and show breath in our lungs. So we pour.
Worship you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. Thank you, Jesus.
Every word that our Father speaks contains the power to carry it out. He's not just making promises, but they are made with the intent of being performed. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he regrets what he says. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness. Remain the same, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same, yeah. History can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me, yeah. Great is your faithfulness. From the rising sun
to the setting same, I will praise
your name. Great
is your faithfulness to
faithfulness.
See, I put my faith.
ground. My old family foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus. My anchor to the ground.
For your faithfulness, Lord. You are the first and the last, God. Alpha and Omega. The one I put my trust in, Lord. We bless you this morning. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. The first and the last, beginning and the end, promise of who is to come. The future is in your hand. Calling the light with all the earth, we will sing. You are the author of life. Is in your name. Grace in the cross that for us brought us to life again. Calling the love with all we are, let us sing. God, our hope and our salvation, worthy of all the praise, be our life. Your name, Jesus, the first and the last. Show us the way of your love. Lead us toward the truth. Stir up the fire in us to live out this life with you. Calling your name, Jesus, forever will sing. God, our hope and our salvation, worthy of all the praise, be our light everlasting. Great is your name, Jesus, the first and the last. Every heart in every nation will hear sound as the light breaks through the darkness and your name rings out. Every distant horizon will meet as one, singing holy is your name. Holy is your name, God, our hope and our salvation. Worthy of all the praise, be our light everlasting. Great is your name, Jesus, God, our hope and our salvation. Worthy of all.
first and the last. Great is your name, Jesus, the first and the last.
Say that one more time.
Great is your name, Jesus, the first and the last.
Somebody give him a shout of praise this morning. Come on.
Praise God. It's good to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Happy New Year to you all. We're having an expectancy of good things. How about you? Amen. Well, family, won't you be seated right where you are? We're going to partake of communion. If you did not receive communion emblems, won't you just wave your hand and we'll pass one to you? Anybody did not receive a communion, their communion, just wave your hand. We all got it. Good morning to those watching online. We're so glad you've joined us today. Thank you, Shanta. Anyone else needs communion? Praise God. We thought this would be appropriate this morning for us to put first things first. Amen. There's great meaning in communion. And I want to remind you that communion, this bread and this cup, is for you. If you were the only person that was in need of redemption, Jesus would have done it for you. And it's a collective thing, but it's a personal thing. It's for you. And we're going to approach the bread and the cup today, and we're going to remember just what it is that he's done for us. On the first night, if you peel back the top, there's bread. But on the Passover night, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he passed a piece of it to each of the disciples sitting around the table. And he made a statement. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Isn't that interesting? Very, very significant to us. He said, "This is my body broken for you." And I want us to think about this. Later he said, "Many get sick and die early." And they said, "Why?" And he said, "Because they don't discern the Lord's body. They don't discern the body." And you might say, "Well, what does that even mean?" You know, I think it can mean two things. First of all, it's that we don't treat this moment with the respect that it deserves, as if it is the body of Christ. We're slapdash. We don't think about the meaning behind it. So that's one way that we may not honor we may not discern or judge it correctly, the body of Christ. And second of all, that we don't honor members of the body of Christ with respect that they deserve. Amen? We're part of one body. And so I want you to take that bread, and I like to break it because I like to think of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us. And the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. And that's very significant when it comes to partaking of communion, because you can experience healing just participating in what Jesus has done in his body. So what he did then paid the price for everything you need now. So if you have sickness in your body, you have weakness, you have disease, or whatever it is, the price was paid when his body was broken. And you can receive it now. And so I want us to really think about that, because there's great testimonies of people that get healed just participating in communion, because they have faith in what Jesus has done. Amen. And so I want you to say this. Say, "By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed." Amen. And as we're sitting here, I want you to think of somebody that you may know. We all know people that are suffering in their bodies, that are sick. And just quietly, under your breath, bring them before the Lord today. Just mention, there's people that I know of. Tina's mom is in ICU. Father, we bring these people before you. We thank you for your healing power that's available to us. We speak healing over them today, Father. For those that are watching online, we speak healing. We speak life to you because of the stripes that Jesus bore on our behalf. And so I want you to take that bread. Let's eat that today. Thank you, Lord. Say, by his stripes, I was healed. Amen. And then let's take the cup together. And you know, you holding a cup that Jesus looked at it and he said, this is my blood. Isn't that interesting? And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So this is, we need the blood of Jesus. That's the key to salvation. Amen. And make this confession. Say, the blood of Jesus sets me free. It's so important to say that over our lives. Say it over your home. Say it over your family. The blood of Jesus sets us free, because that's exactly what it does. And today, as we're partaking of this, bring your family and loved ones before the Lord. You know, maybe you have a child that's gone away from serving God. Maybe you're like me and you've got family members that have never given their heart to the Lord. Bring them before him today. The blood of Jesus is able to save all of them. Say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They can't get away from that, right? We plead, say, I plead the blood of Jesus over all my loved ones, over my family, over those saved and unsaved, over those on fire, over those who are lukewarm, over those who are far away from God. And let's take this cup right now. And just like I said with healing, what Jesus did on the cross paid for everything you could possibly need. Every sin we've committed is forgiven by the blood of Jesus, washed away. The Bible says, cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So much to be thankful for. Amen. And so let's drink of that cup together. Praise God. You know, that's a meal of absolute victory. Everything is contained in that. Amen. And so thank you for that. We're going to pass those down to the ends of the aisle, if you don't mind, and our ushers will collect them. I'm so glad we did that. I just want to welcome those that are watching online today. Welcome to Ascend Church. Happy New Year to you. We are believing God for some good things. We already having the Lord just minister to us with direction and vision for the year, and we've been praying for you, and we're looking forward to what God has in store. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, just let us know where you're watching from. If you have a prayer request, let us know. We'll pray over you. But we're so glad that you've joined us today. Amen. I want to be in church. I don't want to be online. How about you, Mike? The mighty evangelist, Mike Francine. How wonderful to have you and Tiffany with us today. We're so glad that you're here. Amen. So just in our welcome today, do we have anyone that's visiting us for the first time? You've never been to a service, I think. I don't see any. First time? Have you been before? Yes. There we go. Well, we're gonna flood this place with visitors this year. I'm telling you that much. But we're going to pass an attendance register by. Just let us know that you are here. And if you don't receive our texts, just text the word ASCEND to 561-745-5404. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. We've got all kinds of things that are going to be happening in the next month of January and in the month of February. Lots of good things to come. And I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church that hasn't changed. The first one is that you would know God. The second one is that you would find freedom. You would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor Steve. I believe you are. Anytime. Anytime. So these are the people who don't go out partying late on a New Year's Eve. Pastor Steve says we're the ones going to heaven. Anyone in this immediate circle? Huh? We're okay with that, right? No, we're not. No, we're not. Praise God. People are still traveling too. There you go.
Praise the Lord. Good morning and Happy New Year. Amen. Happy New Year. So glad you're here today. I'm so glad. Tell your neighbor, glad you're here today. It's astounding. It's astounding to me that so many people don't come to church because it was New Year's Eve last night. What's that got to do with anything? I see people riding around. It's not like there's no one on the streets. Have you noticed? It's not like there's people out there. They're up. They're running. They're bicycling. They're swimming. It's only the Christians home sleeping. But you're not. You're here. I'm telling you, I would never miss the opportunity to start my year on Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, and not be in church. I would never, ever miss that. I'm so glad you're here today. You're starting out the right way. You know, Tom Cartwright shared this with me the other day. Yesterday, I think it was. And let me see if I can find it. I want to read it to you because this is just, I just think this is awesome. Did you, you texted that to me, right, Tom? Hold on, let me find. There we go. So I don't know if you know this, but today is the 250th celebration of the song Amazing Grace. I don't know if you knew that, but I find it fascinating. It says that an Anglican priest and former slave ship owner, Captain John Newton, his hymn, Amazing Grace, has been sung more than 10 million times in 250 years. It says here that the pastor of a large rural congregation was preparing his New Year's Day sermon based on the Old Testament text, 1 Chronicles 17, verse 16. And as he often did, he wrote a hymn to go along with his message. Now, don't be expecting that from me, a song every week to go along with my message. But he wrote a hymn, and little did he know that his words in that simple hymn would be sung throughout the world for the next 250 years and become one of the most loved hymns of all time, Amazing Grace. On Sunday, January 1st, 2023, is the 250th anniversary. He wrote this song to sing on January 1st, 1773. The former wicked seafaring blasphemer whose life took a dramatic turn when spared from a deadly storm, contemplated with King David, "Who am I, O Lord, that you've brought me this far? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." And I want us to sing that song today. Would you stand up with me? Because this is a time right now for us to reflect on just how good the Lord has been to us this year. You know, very often when it comes to a new year, we often focus on the next year ahead, and that's good, you know, and the vision and the goal that we have for the year ahead. And we're going to get into that next week and the week after. We're going to share with you the word that the Lord has given us, the direction God has given us for our church this year. But I also think it's good to look back and thank God for what He's done this year. Thank God that He brought us through. Thank God that we're still here. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Aren't you thankful for the amazing grace of God? Where would I be without the grace of God? Amen. Come on, sing it for us, Bronson. Let's sing it out. Amazing grace.
One, two, three. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through me dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. This grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
From the top, from the bottom of our hearts,
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace toward us. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Jesus was grace and truth personified. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing grace to us. We thank you for redeeming us, for saving us, for forgiving us, for cleansing us, for making us new creations, for bringing us into your family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, today for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done this past year. We give you thanks, Lord. We are thankful and we are grateful for your goodness, your protection, your healing, your provision. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as we approach, as we begin this brand new year, we do so with our faith in you, with our trust in you. We're looking to you, Lord. We're determined to keep you first in our life, to seek you first. And I thank you, Lord, that this year you cause all these things to be added to us. Thank you, Lord. This is a year of breakthroughs. This is a year of blessing. This is a year of favor. This is a year of acceleration. Lord, we thank you right now for all that you're going to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Turn again to someone else you didn't greet already and tell them, I'm glad you're here today. Monica, are we able to show that Bowie's video? Okay, we couldn't find it. All right, everybody. Glad you're here this morning. Welcome to our New Year's Day service to have church on the first day of the year. Man, we're putting God first on the first week, on the first day, on the first year, the beginning, everything. This is the right way to start. Amen. And I want to speak to you about first things first, putting first things first. In Matthew chapter 23, amazing scripture from the Passion Bible, it says, look at this, it says, great sorrow awaits you religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and pretenders, for you are obsessed with peripheral issues. A lot of people are obsessed with peripheral issues, which basically means things that are not important, like insisting on paying meticulous tithes on the smallest herbs that grow in your gardens. These matters are fine, yet you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God, to display mercy to others, and to live with integrity. Readjust your values and place first things first. Jesus is talking about getting our priorities in the right order. Putting first things first in our life. Now, Jesus isn't saying we shouldn't tithe. He's saying that there are more important things. You see, if you read the New Living Translation, it says it like this. In the New Living Translation, Jesus said, yes, you should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things. Now, we're going to see in a moment how tithing is definitely one way that we show God that He's first in our life. But Jesus is saying, you know, you can tithe down to the leaves in your garden. I don't think there's anyone in here today that went out and counted all the leaves in your garden and brought in a tithe of your leaves. Jesus is saying you can be that meticulous, but yet you can still have your priorities in the wrong area, in the wrong place. And I want to make sure this year that we put first things first. I want to make sure that we have our priorities in the right area. Can you say amen? So number one, you want to put God first and you want to keep God first in your life. You see, what is the first of the first commandment that God gave to Moses? What was the first commandment? Exodus chapter 20 is where you find the Ten Commandments. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me or beside me. God wants to be number one in our life, above everybody and above everything. Now, notice I said, if you read on, it says, you shall not make for yourself any graven image to worship it, or the likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God is jealous over you. Now, this is the first of the Ten Commandments. And notice that I said that we need to put God first and we need to keep God first. Because you know why? It's one thing, many times we decide, I'm going to put God first. Yeah, I'm going to put God first. But in case you haven't noticed, the world is filled off with things to distract us. Like little shiny objects. I'm sure you've experienced it. You make a decision, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible every morning before I do anything else. And all of a sudden, it's nighttime, and you don't know what happened, and you didn't read your Bible, and you didn't pray. Because let me tell you that the enemy, the devil, will fight you more than anything else. He will fight you from keeping God first in your life. He will try and do everything to distract you to put something else above God. And you say, well, I can never do that, Pastor Steve. Look at all the people who are not here today. Why not? I had a late night. I went to bed at 1:30 last night. I go to bed at 1 o'clock every Saturday night. It doesn't stop me from coming to church. 7 hours sleep is enough for anybody. And so, you know, we got to determine that we're going to put God first and we're going to keep God first. Because that's the first commandment. And we want to keep him first in our time, in our finances, in every area in our life. For some of us, we're going to have to make some adjustments because a lot of people are trying to fit God in their schedule. People tell me, I'll come to church if I can. Well, don't do me any favors. And don't do God any favors. I'm going to come to church if I can. Are you kidding me? We should be so thankful that we have the privilege of being able to come to church every Sunday. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people trying to find a place to fit God in their schedule. I'm really busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy, busy, busy. Now, are you willing to say, Lord, from you first in my life, I'm going to keep you first in my life. I don't care what else has to go. I don't care what else I have to change. I'm going to keep you first in my life in everything. God is first. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, the Bible says, in everything you do, put God first. And then what will happen? He will direct you, and he will crown your efforts with success. Can I tell you, God, let me tell you how the Lord works. Whatever you do for the Lord, there's always a reward. God is a rewarder. And when you put God first and you seek him first, the Bible says he'll direct you. And he'll give you, crown your efforts with success. Amen? He'll direct you. Being a Christian, let me tell you, it doesn't work out right if God is a sideline in your life. God doesn't want to just be part of your Sunday morning. He wants to be part of your life every day, all week long. He wants to be a vital part of everything that you do. There's millions of people who believe in Jesus. I talk about this all the time. Some people are in for a big surprise. You do not go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. Because the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. And they ain't going to heaven. There are lots of people at home right now that if you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say yes. It is not believing in Jesus that gets you to heaven. It is following him as Lord of your life. That's what gets you to heaven. Because what does the scripture say? If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you'll be saved. See, there's a whole lot of people who believe that Jesus is their Savior, but he is not their Lord. Why? Because they do what they want to do. They don't put God first and do what he wants to do. Say amen, someone says. Good preaching, Pastor Steve, on this first Sunday of 2023. Let me tell you right now, millions of people believe in Jesus. They even go to church on Sunday, but God is still not first in their life. And God is a jealous God. He's jealous of you. Do you know that God puts you first? Do you know God puts you first? Do you know that every one of us is first in God's thoughts? You say, well, Pastor Steve, how can we all be first? Because God is God. He can do that. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's everywhere. You're on God's mind all the time. In fact, the Bible says we can't even count the amount of thoughts that God has about you and me. In Psalm 139, in verse 17, it says, every single moment you're thinking of me. Think about that. every single moment, God. Say, God's thinking about me. Every moment. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desire toward me are more than all the grains of sand on every shore. They cannot be numbered. When I awake each morning, you're still thinking about me. The verse right before that, in verse 16, Psalm 139, it says, you saw me before I was born. You scheduled each day of my life before I even began to breathe. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single moment had passed. You see, before you even arrived on planet Earth, God had a plan for every single day of your life. Now, let me tell you, God won't force you to walk in that plan, but he would like you to walk in that plan because God's plan for your life is the best plan, better than your plan. God would like to lead you and guide you through life and be involved in everything that you do, every decision that you make. That's what Jesus died for you to have. Not just so we could go to church once a week and hope we get to heaven when we die, but God's got a plan and a purpose for our life on this earth, and we need to keep God first. Don't forget about him. Let me tell you, that's what's wrong in our nation right now, the United States of America. No matter what anybody may tell you, this country was built on biblical principles from the Bible by men and women who believed and followed Jesus. Our laws are built on the Word of God. But what happened? They took prayer out of schools and instead started teaching transgender idea, the ideology of the transgender ideology. Now, that's okay. You can teach that. But you can't teach the Bible in schools. And what has happened? They took the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. Listen, you cannot remove God from a nation that was built on the Word of God and expect the nation to continue to last and continue to work. Israel, the nation of Israel, did that over and over. They forgot God. They went away from God over and over. And God is so gracious, and he always received them back again. But they do the same dumb thing again and again and again. And every time they did, they ended up in a famine, all kinds of problems, enemies defeating them, all kinds of things. As long as they would serve God, God would give them victory. But they'd keep going away from him, and they'd keep having these problems. And then they'd come back, like a lot of Christians today. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. God said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which you swore to your fathers as it is this day. And then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, often when we think about other gods, worshiping other gods, we think of a false religion or bowing down to an idol. But can I tell you that you can turn anything into a God in your life? Anything that is more important than God becomes an idol. Your job can be an idol. Your spouse could be an idol. Your child could be an idol. Your possession, your money, anything that is more important than God is an idol. Some people didn't come to church today because their husband didn't want to go. Their wife didn't want to go. That means your wife is more important to you than God. Your husband has a higher place in your life than God. Romans 2, verse 22 says this. You say, don't pray to idols, and then you make money your God instead. The Passion Bible says, you say, I hate idolatry, and I hate false gods, But do you withhold from the true God what is due to him? Do you know that refusing to tithe is withholding from God what is due to him? And then it means that you've made your money more important than God. That's an idol. Malachi 3 verse 8 says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You say, don't bow down to idols, but do you withhold what is due to me? Bring all the tithes and offerings that are due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. We call it the tithing test. If you've never been faithful to tithe, I want to challenge you. In fact, God is challenging you. Try it. Put him to the test. Begin to honor God by bringing the first tenth of every dollar you receive and watch and see what God does in your life. Can anyone testify? Pastor Steve, I know tithing works. I've proved it in my life. Wave at me if you can honestly say, I've proved it in my life. Some of you need to prove it. The only way you prove it is by doing it. And all the believers said, amen. The Bible tells us the tithe belongs to the Lord. In Leviticus 27, verse 30, all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Tithing is one way we show that God is first in our life. Deuteronomy 14, 23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. So there's definitely a very important truth here that when God is first in your life, he's first in your finances. Our checkbook reveals what is really first in our life. So you may sit here and say, Pastor Steve, the Lord is first in my life. But your checkbook tells me what is really first in your life. You spent $5,000 on Christmas gifts. What did you give the Lord? Nothing. We know what's first in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be, where your treasure is. So let's not forget God. Let's keep God first. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is found in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. And it says this, can a virgin forget her ornaments or her jewelry, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without. Just imagine being God and all you have is love for the people you've created and you're thinking about them all the time, night and day. They're in your thoughts. We just read it. You sent your son, your only son, to the earth to die for these people you've created. And now they don't even have time to say hi. For days upon days, without number. I mean, if we forget our cell phone, we go back home. Right? We go back home. But has anyone ever forgotten to pray and say, oh, I've got to go back home. I forgot to pray and read my Bible today. I've got to go back home. Anyone ever done that? This could be a very one of the most valuable messages you ever heard. In Psalm 106, verse 7, it says, Lord, our ancestors learned nothing from the miracles you did in Egypt. They soon forgot your kindness at the Red Sea and rebelled against you. So here's what happens. Forgetting God leads to unbelief, and then it leads to rebellion. And you can see that in our nation. When we start forgetting God, then we start to not believe. Then the next step is we start to rebel. Hello? I don't understand why, if someone wants to believe in God, there are some people that think it's their mission in life to stop and keep everyone else from believing in the Lord. Number two, putting first things first. Put God first, keep God first. Number two, love God first. One day, someone came to Jesus and they asked him, what's the most important commandment? And what did he say? Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So what's the greatest, first, most important commandment? Is to love God with your heart, your soul, your strength, and to love God above everyone else. We must put our relationship with God above every other relationship. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 37, whoever loves father, mother, son, daughter, girlfriend, boyfriend, more than me is not fit to be my disciple. Jesus said that we are to love God and love him more than anybody else. Is that what he said? I've seen people stop attending church because their spouse didn't want them to come. I've seen young girls meet a boy, you know, start dating someone and stop coming to church because their new boyfriend didn't want to come. What you did is you just put him above God. Let me know how that works out. Because I got a pretty good idea. It's not going to work out too good. I wouldn't put anyone above the Lord. Now, I love my wife more than any person on the earth. But let me tell you, God is first. And I know the Lord is first in her life before me. And that's how it's supposed to be. Are you with me? Sometimes people change their biblical beliefs because they're trying to appease a loved one. I've seen Christians that all of a sudden turn around and accept homosexuality because one of their family members is gay. So now it's okay. Because now one of their family is gay. You see, you should love your family no matter what. Love your children no matter what. But we should never put anyone above God. And we shouldn't change the word of God to suit people. When Jesus appeared to John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, he gave him a message for the church. In Revelation 2 verse 4, he said, I have this against you. You have left your first love. This is what I got this against you. You've left your first love. The Living Bible says, you don't love me as at first. And the Passion Bible says, I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love that you did at first, or I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. I got this against you. You don't love me like you did. I'm not first in your life. I'm not the first love. See, often people start out, they're so passionate about the Lord, you know, when they first receive Jesus, when they first get saved. But then, over time, the enemy does all he can to distract them or for them to get disappointed. Maybe something didn't work out the way they wanted it to, and they lose that passionate love. But God wants us to keep him as our first love. Number three. God wants us to put his word as first in our life. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and your entire being, with all your might. And these words, which I am commanding you this day, shall be first in your own minds and hearts. God wants his word to be first in our life. That's what changed my life. That's what changed Jill's life. And I realized that the Bible is written to me and it's God talking to me. And I decided that I was going to make the Word of God the final and highest authority in my life. If God's Word said it, that settles it. I believe it. If the Word of God, that's not, God's Word is first. If God said it, that settles it. That's what changed our life. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you won't do what I say?" You see, if we don't do what Jesus said, He is not really the Lord of our life. And let me tell you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you're looking for a church, you can get there on Sunday and they're going to tickle your ear, tell you how wonderful you are and everything's great and blah, 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 and you don't have to do anything. This ain't the place. This is a church where I'm going to teach you the truth, because I want you all to get to heaven and I want you all to live the best life and fulfill God's plan and destiny for your life on this earth. And let me tell you, that takes certain dedication, commitment, and putting God first in your life. Amen. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord? But you won't do what I say. I'm not Lord." And in the next verses, he went on to compare someone who hears the Word of God and does the Word of God to someone who hears the Word of God who doesn't do it. He says, "The one who hears the Word of God and does it is like a man who built his house on the rock, and when the storm came, his house stood. But the man who heard the Word of God but didn't do it, it's like a man who built his house on the sand, and when the storm came, his house fell." Because when you put God's Word first in your life and you do what it says, the Bible says you are going to be blessed in what you do. Amen? If God is first in your life, His Word is first in your life. You believe what His Word says. You do what His Word says. God's Word is the final authority in your life. You obey. When you obey God's Word, you're obeying God. When you disobey God's Word, you're disobeying God. If God's Word's not first in your life, God's not first in your life. Number four, we're talking about putting first things first. Seek God first. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19, "Set your heart and your mind to seek," which means to inquire and require as a vital necessity the Lord. Seek after. This is a vital necessity that you inquire and you seek after the Lord. The Message Bible says your part is to give yourselves heart and soul in praying to your God. You see, seeking God involves praying. You cannot seek God without spending time in prayer in His presence. Say amen, someone. Every now and then, just say amen. Just encourage me. Let me know you're still here. So now, David said in Psalm 63, he said, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." You see, when you seek God first, I tell you right now, God, there are blessings. There are blessings. Let me see that next scripture. What is it? Psalm 34:10. "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall never lack any good thing." You want to know the secret to eliminating lack from your life? Never lacking any good thing ever again. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can you say amen, somebody? Lamentations says in Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is wonderfully good to those who seek for Him." When you seek God, Jesus says, "Seek, you will find." When you seek God, the Bible says that God is wonderfully good to you, and it says that you will not lack any good thing. That's great news. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. That I am not dependent on any single person. No person is my source. If I will seek God, I will never lack any good thing in my life. Now, seek's a very strong word. It means to crave, pursue, to go after with everything you've got. Have you ever tried to seek a hot fudge sundae? Have you ever got the craving and you just got to seek after? Ladies, some of you, you know how to seek after a pair of shoes that you want. You seek after those shoes, man. Listen, can we seek after God like we seek after other things? Can we get as excited about the Lord as we do about a football game? Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not going to go to church and act like a crazy emotional nut. I wish I had a video of you watching football and how excited you get when your team scores. Do you get as excited about the Lord as you do about that game? Do you think about God and His goodness often? Do you take time to thank God for His blessings? Can you say without hesitation that God is first in your life? Was that number four I gave? Number five, dedicate the first day of your week to God. Put God first in your time, in your week. If you don't have time for Him, if we don't go to church, I hear people say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I sincerely believe that you cannot be a Christian and not go to church. I've never seen anyone who stays home and leads people to Jesus, worships God, prays, never seen it. All they say is, well, I believe in Jesus, but they do their own thing. I'm telling you right now, I don't think that you can really be a believer and not be part of a church. Now, I don't think going to church saves you. But if you're saved, you want to go. If you don't want to go to church, there's something wrong. Something major is wrong. Man, if we don't have time to go to church every Sunday, listen, God is not first in your life. In the Old Testament, God commanded them to dedicate the Sabbath day, which was Saturday. It was to Him. And He told them in Exodus 20, verse 10, the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. What's the Sabbath day about? Here it is. The Sabbath day is what? Dedicated to the Lord. That's what it was for. Stop everything else and dedicate this day to the Lord. On that day, no one in your household can do any work. Now, we took the part, no one do any work, but we forgot about the part dedicated to the Lord. When you go to Israel, you see the Sabbath begins on Friday night as the sun goes down and everything stops. Everything comes to a standstill. Couldn't even use the toaster. You can't use the toaster. Do they let you use the toaster on the Sabbath day? They changed that now. You can. Well, years ago, you couldn't even use the toaster. They wouldn't even let you turn it on. They'd freak out. Couldn't use the elevator. You have to go up and down the stairs. Oh, excuse me. You can't push it. You get in the elevator. You can't exert yourself by pushing the button so it just stops every floor. What about us living under the new covenant? Do we still have to maintain the Sabbath? Because there's a lot of Christians today that I've noticed is kind of popular. They're going back and living under the law. And the Sabbath is a big thing. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you're not even a Christian, as far as they're concerned. But what does the Bible say? Matthew 28, verse 1. Look at this. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week begin to dawn. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to go see the tomb. And the Bible says in the New Living, it says it was early Sunday morning. Now Mary goes to the tomb early Sunday morning, and what happens? She sees an angel sitting outside the tomb, and the angel says, he's risen. He's not here. He's risen. What day did Jesus rise from the dead? These are not trick questions. Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. When did Mary go to the tomb? Sunday morning. Jesus had risen from the dead. Why do we have church on Sunday? Because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the day that every time he appeared was on a Sunday. And in the New Testament, they had church on Sunday. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them. And since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. We've got to do that sometime. I've got to preach till midnight. You ever done that, Mike? I'm sure you've gone way over midnight. It was on Sunday. The Message Bible says we met on Sunday to worship and celebrate the Master's Supper. Now, some Christians believe that we have to have church on Saturday, that's the Sabbath day, but the Scripture says, I'm trying to help you expose some things that are not true. I'm giving you a bit of truth here today. In Colossians 2, verse 16, it says, why would you allow anyone to judge you because of what you eat or what you drink or insist that you keep the feasts, observe new celebrations, or the Sabbath? All of these things were but a prophetic shadow and the evidence of what would be fulfilled, for the body is now Christ. That's telling me, why would you let somebody judge you and tell you that you've got to keep the Sabbath? Because we don't. Because in the New Testament, they had church on Sunday, the first day of the week. We start out our week by honoring God, remembering Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day. That's why we have church on Sunday. But you want to make sure you're in church every Sunday. I said, you want to make sure you're in church every Sunday. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do. How many know there's some people neglect our church meetings? Now, there's some people I know they're going to be here every Sunday. I don't even have to question. I know they're going to be here. Now, if something happened, they were on vacation, they'll let me know. I'm going to be out of town. But otherwise, I know they're here. There's other people, I never know if they're going to show up. It's always good to see them, but I never know. You want to be one of those people that are here every Sunday, faithfully putting God first and honoring the Lord. Can you say amen? You know, Chick-fil-A closes every Sunday. They do it to honor God. I really believe that's one of the reasons for their success. Because the average fast food business makes $1 million a year. The average. The average Chick-fil-A makes $5 million a year. Five times any other. I believe it's because they put God first. God wants, say this, God wants me to be in church, his house, every Sunday. I'm going to keep God first on the first day of the week. Number six, you want to seek God's will first in your life. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now I want to challenge you this morning, as we go into 2023, to really crave the will of God in your life. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:42. He said, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not my will. Lord, let your will be done in my life, not my will. That's an awesome prayer to pray. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Say, Lord, let your will be done. Say it now. Say, Lord, let your will be done, not my will be done. It appears that Jesus didn't want to go through the death on the cross. Would you? He didn't want to. That's why he sweat blood. But he said, Lord, Father, I want to do your will, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, you may pray something like this. Lord, I'd really like to get that promotion at work. I've worked hard for it. Nevertheless, Lord, I can be happy without it, and I can be happy for whoever you give it to. Not my will. Let your will be done in my life. Put God's will first. Number seven, seek God's kingdom first. Now, we're talking about getting our priorities, putting first things first. putting God first, keeping God first, loving God first, seeking God's will first, seeking God's kingdom first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first. Say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Again, you can never put God first in your life without God responding. Seek first my kingdom, and all these things are going to be added to you. The New Living Translation says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. When you put God first, God just, he just piles it on, man. He just blesses you. He's beyond what you can imagine. If you will put the kingdom of God first, and let me tell you that this church is part of the kingdom of God. He promises that he will give you everything you need. Everything you need will be given to you. If God's kingdom is first in your life, then you will be committed and to the kingdom of God. You will be involved. You'll be helping to build God's church. Jesus is passionate about God's house. In John 2, verse 17, it says the disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. Jesus was consumed with a passion for the house of God. Jesus is passionate about his church. It's the only thing he's building. The only thing that Jesus is building is his church. He said, I will build my church, and the gate, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Amen. If Jesus is passionate about building his church, and I am to seek first his kingdom, then I will be passionate about building his church too. Can you say amen, somebody? If I'm passionate about building God's kingdom and his church, then that means I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be bringing people to church. I'm going to be supporting the church financially. I'm going to be serving in God's house because I'm passionate. I'm putting God's kingdom first. Is this too much for you? Can you handle this? Because most people, most even Christians, they're not seeking God's kingdom first. They're seeking their own. What they want is first. But it's amazing how it works. When you begin to put the kingdom of God first and not yourself, God begins to bless you beyond what you could have even imagined. It's amazing how it works, right, Mike? Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 42, he said, you know the rulers of this world, they lord over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first, say first, must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Seek first the kingdom of God. Are you serving in God's church? Are you involved in God's church? If you're not, get involved. Start now. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Number 8, live to please the Lord first. In Colossians 1:10, it says that you may live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. It says that we should live to please him. We should desire to please him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it says our goal is to please him. Say, my goal is to please the Lord. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. You see, one of the things that really motivates me to serve the Lord and put him first is because I know I'm going to stand before him one day. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing on the stage right now. I believe I'm going to stand before God, and I believe I'm going to give an account. And I want him to say, Steve, I'm pleased with you. Now, I know I've made mistakes. I haven't been perfect. But I went in to say, Steve, I'm pleased with you because you followed my will and you put me first and you live for me. That's what I want him to say. I do not want to stand before the Lord And there's some Christians, if they don't get their act together, they're not going to hear well done. They're going to hear, why did you live? Why were you so selfish? Why did you just live for yourself? Why didn't you reach out to any lost people around you? Why didn't you support your church? I led you to this great church called the Send Church, and you didn't support it. You didn't give to it. You didn't. I'm telling you, some people are going to hear that. Not me. Say, not me. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. We urge you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to live in a way that pleases God. Verse 3. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. So if I want to live to please the Lord, I'm going to stay away from sexual sin, because that's the will of God. Make decisions in your life that are pleasing to God. Don't live to please yourself. Don't even live to please other people. Because some of us, we've allowed other people to manipulate and control us. We're controlled by the whims and desires of other people. And some of us, we've gotten ourselves in a real mess, because now we're doing a whole bunch of things that we don't even feel like is God's will for our life, but we're doing it because we're trying to please somebody else. So what do you do now? Because you will not walk in the will of God unless you're willing to displease people sometimes. Not everybody's going to love it when you follow after God's will for your life. We make a lot of decisions because we don't want people to be mad at us. But let me tell you, if they're going to get mad at you because you don't do what they want, then they probably don't care about you very much. Because if you don't learn to say no, you will never walk in the will of God. You got to break free from manipulation and control and living to please people, and live to please God first in your life. In Galatians 1:10, Paul said, he said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people was my goal, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. The Passion Bible says, I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men, but my supreme passion is to please God. For if all I attempt is to please people, I would not be a true servant of the Messiah. Say, I'm living to please God. Now, I want to tell you, I love you enough and to be to preach and tell you the truth, that we must be led and guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and not by anything or anybody else. And then finally, I'm going to close. Make the first move. Tell your neighbor, make the first move. Because there's many places in the Bible where it says, if you do this first, then God will do that. You act first, then God acts. For example, James 4 verse 8, when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. You make the first move. Let me tell you, you're as close to God as you want to be. So when you draw close to God, God draws close to you. You've got to forgive first. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You've got to forgive first. You know that. You'd be shocked how many people in this room right now are mad at somebody. And you think you're justified by your anger. Well, listen, it's okay to get angry. It's not a sin to be angry. But staying angry and acting on that anger, that is a sin. And this issue is doing more damage to the church than I think anything else. And the power that we should have as a church. Because so many Christians are holding on to unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. The Bible says to pray for your enemies and bless them. It doesn't say you've got to like them. It doesn't say you've got to have ooey-gooey feelings about them. Love is not about how you feel. Love's a choice. Love's a decision that we make about how we're going to treat people and how we're going to talk about people. And being mad at someone's not going to change them. It changes you. It ruins and poisons your life. Well, I'm not going to let him get away with it. Well, God says if you'll do things his way and put him first and keep him first, he'll be your vindicator. He will bring justice. So either you want your brand of justice or you want God's brand of justice. And I would rather have God's justice than my justice any day. Jesus said in Mark 11:25 from the Amplified Bible, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it go. Let it drop. Let it go in order that your Father who is in heaven may forgive your own failings and shortcomings. It says if you got anything against anyone, big things, little things, things you think you're justified in, forgive them. Let it go. Drop it, man. Pray for the person. Put them in God's hands. Walk away from bitterness, resentment, hatred, and just get about living your life and putting God first and seeking him first and just let him keep blessing you. There's millions of people that pray the Lord's Prayer and they don't understand what they're praying. Father, forgive our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass, do you really want God to forgive you the same way you forgive other people? So you better make sure that you forgive other people. Forgive first. The Bible says we should be merciful first. The Bible says, just give me that scripture, please. Yeah, in Matthew 5:7, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. How many want God to show you mercy? Wave your hand. You want God to be merciful to you. Then you got to show mercy first. Because, you see, because we love God, we show mercy to people. And mercy always goes to people who don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mercy. Mercy, if you're waiting to find someone who deserves mercy, then you got the wrong idea about mercy. Because mercy is given to someone who has not done what is right and who does not deserve it, and you just decide you're going to cut him a break. Maybe you decide you're going to believe the best, or you're going to drop it, you're going to let it go. And often we say that we say we forgive somebody, but then we keep reminding them of what they did. We don't want them to think they got away with it. So we have the attitude, okay, I'm going to be merciful, but you're going to know that I'm being merciful, and you're going to appreciate my mercy, and I'm never going to let you forget how merciful I was to you. The Bible says you should first focus on your own flaws before you focus on the flaws of others. Talk about getting first things first. Jesus said in Matthew 7, refuse to be a critic full of bias toward others, and you will not be judged. For you'll be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws in your own? How could you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, where you're guilty of even more? You're being hypocritical, you're a hypocrite. First acknowledge and deal with your own blind spots, and then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spots of your friend. First focus on your own flaws. We're all great at fixing everyone else's flaws. Don't ignore your own faults. While you're pointing out the faults of others, Jesus said to the religious leaders who caught a woman in the act of adultery, let him that is without sin be the, cast the first stone. You've got to first humble yourself, and then God will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he at the right time he'll lift you up in honor. See, you first do the humbling, then God does the lifting up. You got to first pray, and then you receive. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. In James 4:3, it says you don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. Amen? You got to pray first before you make plans. Don't plan first, and then when you're out of the middle of doing what you want to do, then you pray, God, ask him to make it work. First pray and let God lead you. First believe and then receive. You can't receive and then believe. You've got to first believe. In Matthew 8:13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed from that same hour. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. You've got to first believe and then you receive. You've got to first say it and then you will have it. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. You've got to first say it, and then you receive it. You've got to first give, and then you will receive. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour upon you with such overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Remember the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus when he fed the 5,000, and there were 12 baskets left over. The widow who gave her last meal to Elijah in 1 Kings 17, God supernaturally multiplied her oil and her flour until the famine was over. So you got to first give. You got to first honor God with your tithe, and then God blesses you. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. You honor God and you tithe first, and then God opens the windows of it. You make the first move. If God's not first in your finances, he's not first in your life. You've got to obey God first, and then you experience radical, amazing blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, then the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey. You see, first you obey, and then you experience the blessings. Are you with me? Amen, somebody. Did you get something out of this morning? I love this. Let me close with this. Proverbs 13:13. Proverbs 13:13. I'll close with this. Despise God's word and find yourself in trouble. Obey it and succeed. I believe that as you keep God first in your life, that he's going to direct your path this year, that he's going to open the windows of heaven above you, that he's going to rebuke the devourer and protect you, that blessings are coming chasing after you, that you will overcome every obstacle, every difficulty, you will defeat every enemy. In the name of Jesus, I believe this year is going to be a year of blessing, favor, freedom, acceleration, breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? In fact, we are going to start out our year with a 21-day fast. And we're going to start the fast. Can you put that graphic up for me? The 21-day fast is starting on January 9th. And we're going to go to January 29th. Now, I'm going to speak about the breakthrough power of fasting next week. And let me tell you, you are going to be so motivated to want to fast when you hear what the Word of God says about it. We're starting out our year putting God first, seeking God first. What you do at the beginning of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year. This year, we're going after souls. This is going to be a year of soul winning. We have Bill Weiss is going to be with us on February the 5th. Can you show that video for me real quickly? A 30-second video. Could you play the video? Do you have it ready? Is it set up? Bill Weiss, the author of the book 23 Minutes in Hell, good friend of ours. He had an out-of-body experience. The Lord took him and showed him hell. And he wrote a book. Became a New York Times best-selling book. Sold millions of copies. He's led thousands and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. He's coming on February the 5th, Sunday, and we are going to take this little video, and I'm going to put it on TV stations all across this area. We're going to run it hundreds of times. We're going to boost this video on social media. We've got little invite cards we've had printed where you're going to invite someone and tear off the pot with their name on. We're going to have a big board out there in the lobby. We're going to put those cards on the board. We're going to pray over those people for the next 5 weeks. I believe on February 5th, we're not going to fit the people in this place. I believe that this whole altar is going to be filled with people giving their lives to Jesus on February the 5th. We're going after souls this year. We're going to see people get saved. Can you say amen? Are you with us? Do you agree with us? You stand in agreement with us. Do we have the video? Because I don't want to delay. I can have Pastor Joel come up and you can watch. Let Pastor Joel come. Will you give me a thumbs up if you get it ready? Play it if it's ready. Or do you want a minute? Oh, we need a minute. Come on.
Praise God. Man, that's some good word right there. You know, I was listening to something Ed Trout, I was listening, and he was saying, you know, I'm getting, the older I get, the less I want to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear, and I just want you to hear the truth of the Word of God. And that's the truth of the Word of God. I mean, it's what we would tell, what we still tell our own kids at 37, 39 years of age. You're still telling them, put God first, keep God first, love God first, and everything will work out. Amen. But right now, Happy New Year to those of you who came in late. So it's going to be a good year. Now's the time we have, we can honor the Lord with our giving. And I know that the beginning of a new year, everybody's thinking resolutions, goals. Monique's coined a phrase that we're going to thinner me in 23. All right, we're gonna put your name on that statement. So there's a goal, right? So we've got resolutions, we've got goals, but I want to just challenge you and encourage you to put God first in your finances. Put God first in your finances, and like I say, it's not about everything we say from the Word of God. It's not about trying to make anybody do anything that benefits us. This is about the kingdom of God. It's about your life. It's about honoring God. And so if you've tithed in the past and you've had a hard time doing it, make a new commitment to prioritize the kingdom of God and just say, I'm going to give the first tenth of whatever I receive is going into the house of God. Amen? You know, when we budget, we have priorities. And so we talk about what we have to do with our finances personally, and we have priorities. You know, we have our mortgage is our priority, our HOA is our priority, our car is our priority. But let me tell you what comes over and above that. God is our priority. And so we tithe in faith before we do anything else. Amen? So just make God first. Put God first. Let's make that. I challenge you to just take that step and do it and see if he will not, as Pastor Steve read that scripture from Proverbs where it says, honor the Lord first with the first of all your increase, and your vats will be, your barns will, he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines, not even just with wine, but the finest wines. To those that are watching online, go ahead. That's very easy for you to give. On Facebook, you can just click give. You can go to ascendchurch.us and you can give there securely. Thank you to the faithful tithers in this house. We have faithful, you know, it's like preaching to the converted, right? Because there's so many people that are so faithful, and we appreciate your faithfulness to support God's house. And I want to pray over you today as you prepare yourself to give. Father, I thank you for each and every person, each and every tither in this house, each and every giver, those that give online, Father, those that give from other countries that are given to your kingdom via this house. I thank you for the blessing of God. We truly believe your word, Father. We act on it. You said you first, and then I will do. So we, Father, we hold you to it. You said, test me. When I bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me, says the Lord. And so we prove you today. We just say, Lord, we look forward to seeing you prove yourself, that we will overflow with everything that we need in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and give, and we're going to watch that video, right?
Hi, my name is Mel. At 10 a.m., I'll be sharing an out-of-body experience that God gave me where he actually took me to hell. You will hear how horrifying hell really is, but more importantly, the scriptures that verify what I saw. Please invite those who are skeptics or those who do not believe in God or hell. Now, I look forward to seeing you there.
Buddy, Praise the Lord, everybody. Stand up with me. We're going to go home now. Tell your neighbor, you needed to hear this today. I need to hear this today. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Cassandra, it's good to see you. Do you get my text when I text you? You must have a new number. I need to get your number because I texted you. I saw you a few weeks back and you didn't reply, and I figured you must have got another number. So let me get your number before you go, right? Father, we just want to thank you and praise you today. Thank you for your goodness toward us throughout 2022, this past year, Lord. We remember all that you've done. We are thankful and we are grateful, Lord. And we look forward to 2023, Father, with excitement, with anticipation, because we know, Father, you're the God of the breakthrough. We're expecting breakthroughs. We're expecting favor. We're expecting increase. We're expecting blessing. We're expecting, Lord, souls to come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, Lord, we dedicate 2023 to you. We put you first. We love you first. We seek you first. We put your word first. We put your will first, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, that as we go home today, we thank you that you're with us, you guide us, you protect us, you strengthen us, you keep us healthy, you take care of us, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. See you next Sunday. We're going to talk about the breakthrough power of fasting. Have an awesome week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Turn graves into gardens. You turn pain into promise.